day has passed in the past week without COVID vaccines being in the news. Rows have been brewing between the EU and the UK for the AstraZeneca, while the UK government is still focused on its target of offering a first dose of the vaccine to everyone in the first top priority groups by mid-February. This is the situation in wealthier countries, but what about those countries where simply getting the vaccine at all is what they have to worry about? Well, one local organisation knows these countries very well indeed, and they are doing something about it. The Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine has launched a campaign to help bring vaccines to more countries for those suffering from health inequalities. To tell us all about it and to update us on the Bump It Forward campaign, I'm joined by Professor Melita Gordon and Dr. Fumbani Limani, who is also joining us this morning, and she's in Malawi. Good morning to both of you. I'll start with Dr. Limani. First of all, welcome. You work in a local hospital. When did you first discover for COVID being widespread there? What has it been like for you and your colleagues? Give us the latest.
Thank you for having us, Helen. So like in the UK, Malawi is also suffering a lot from due to the second wave. We're seeing 5 to 10 times more cases, more admissions, and more deaths. And apart from increase in number of admissions and cases, we're also seeing an increase in number of healthcare workers who have been infected by COVID. At the moment, half of my colleagues at the hospital where we work, that's Queen Elizabeth Central Hospital, are currently at home, all suffering from COVID, and that has put a strain on the healthcare workers on the ground at the moment. So just like in the UK, we are also seeing an increase in the number of cases and a huge burden on healthcare workers.
And Limani, when did COVID first hit Malawi?
So the first wave started last year, in April last year, 2020. We did not see many cases then, but during the second wave, we've seen double in the number of cases, admissions, and deaths. So about 10 times what we experienced during the first wave.
Now, in the UK, Limani, there's been talk about how the virus has had a greater effect on more disadvantaged communities. Is that the case, do you think, for Malawi as well?
Well, here in Malawi, we're seeing both communities have been equally affected, so both rural and urban areas. In the rural communities, there's a high risk of infection due to overcrowding, and also access to hospitals and healthcare is not as good as in the urban communities. And in the urban communities, we've seen most patients who are affected and most deaths are associated in patients with diabetes or hypertension. So both communities have been affected equally.
Professor Gordon, turning to you, you work for the University of Liverpool on coordination of the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. What's your role in Malawi?
So I live and work here full time together with Fumbani. I work here with the University of Liverpool in three things, really, in research, in teaching and training, and also just working as a doctor on the hospital wards. So those are my three roles out here. I've been working here since 1997.
Are you able, Melita, to compare the approach to COVID in the UK and Malawi? What has the approach been there?
Well, I think in one sense, it's very similar. This is a really global thing. Everybody is being hit in the same way. Healthcare workers are being hit. Hospitals are being hit. We've had to open 5 wards for COVID and they've overflowed. We now have patients in beds in a tent in the car park with oxygen cylinders. So in that way, this is global. And we're very aware of the similarities between two countries and the suffering in both countries. Here in Malawi, we are enormously fortunate that we do have oxygen to give our patients. Because back in the first wave, the Wellcome Trust gave us a very generous grant of £2 million and we could buy a huge oxygen generator for the hospital. But we don't have any ability to give people ventilatory support, to take them into ITU, to intubate them, or anything like that. So all we can do is give people oxygen and dexamethasone and hope. So that is a big contrast. And I think the final big, huge contrast you already alluded to is that in the UK, we see healthcare workers getting their vaccine, we celebrate for them. We see vulnerable people, like Fumbani has described here, getting their vaccine, and we celebrate for them. That is a long way off for us. The Economist last week estimated that Africa will not see large-scale rollout until early 2023. So we've got 2 years to get through while we wait for effective vaccine cover. And that's an enormous contrast.
Belita, tell us about the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, this wonderful campaign. What is happening? Tell us about it.
This is fantastic. This is just amazing. This started with a friend of mine from church, a Christian friend, Denise Roberts. And she got in touch with me a little bit out of the blue and said, Melita, I've had a dream. I think it's a really significant, important one. Can I talk about it? And I thought, oh, gosh, okay. And she got in touch and she had had a dream about the fact that she was going to receive her vaccine and she wanted to pay forward the cost of that vaccine to help people in countries who did not yet have vaccines. A very direct personal idea. And so we talked about how that might work, what it would look like. I put her in touch with the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine because we work very closely with them and we know that we can transfer money and ideas safely and regularly. We do it all the time. And it's a very direct thing from Liverpool straight to the people who need it in Africa. And that's really how it started up, this idea that people who have had a vaccine get it for free. It costs something of the order of £30. That's just the cost of the vaccine, not the full cost of delivering, but something like £30. And people want and love the idea that since they got it free, they would like to pay it forward and provide protection for someone in Africa who still doesn't yet have their vaccine.
What a great idea. How can we get involved and help support you, Melita and Fumbani, with the campaign?
Loads of people already have. We've had such an encouraging response. It gives us courage. It gives us protection here. And the way you get involved is that if you search on the internet, bump it forward at Just Giving, you will find the link to be able to donate directly to the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. And that donation comes straight to one of three countries, Malawi, Kenya, or Zimbabwe. And the Liverpool School is working very directly with people who are directly connected to it on the ground. And what that does is it gives protection to healthcare workers. We are able to buy PPE, we're able to buy gowns, we're able to make and reuse gowns, buy masks and gloves, and keep healthcare workers safe. And it also enables to give better care for our patients so we can get things like oxygen regulators, we can get better oxygen delivery. If we run out, we can buy drugs, cheap drugs that make a huge difference, like dexamethasone. So those are the ways that the money will be spent in those three places that the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine is linked to.
And finally, I'll end on Dr. Fumbani Limani, just to ask you, what would it mean to get the extra financial support to help those people in Malawi with the COVID vaccine?
Extra support will give us courage to continue working with COVID patients because we know we'll be in a safe environment, so that offers protection. And it's good to know that you're going to work and help others and also know that you're safe. So it will make sure that we have adequate PPE on the ground. And we thank everyone who has given so far and all those who are planning on giving. Thank you.
It's wonderful. Going to leave it there. That's Professor Melita Gordon from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine out in Malawi alongside Dr. Fumbani Limani.